host Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ.
Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. This power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Hi, I'm your host, Janessa Finley Ford. I am an empowerment coach, and I assist people in reprogramming their brains, repatterning their lives, and creating the relationships that their hearts have always desired by starting with the relationship with themselves. We usually start off with a little bit of humor in the middle of our week, but this week I'm going to start off with what I feel is a very awe-inspiring story. It just happened over the weekend. And it also connects to a few topics we've been talking about around here. So there has not been much rain in Nebraska, where I live in Nebraska, actually, until recently. So Saturday, there was a torrential downpour. It was beautiful. It was cleansing. It was amazing. It was in the middle of the day. It was so incredibly warm, and the rain was so cool and refreshing. And I went outside to dance in the rain. It just seemed like such a figurative, literal experience I needed. I've been dancing in the rain through this last year and a half as life has brought the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and not much else in between. Anyone else out there relate to that? Have you been experiencing that as well? There's been this beautiful, beautiful skill developing in being able to experience the happy and the sorrow all at the same time. But it wasn't the easiest skill to come to embrace. And I would love to hear from others in their own experiences of that. So I'm dancing in the rain because I, gosh darn it, I'm not going to just keep figuratively dancing in the rain through life. And it's a lot more fun to dance in literal rain. And while you could say it was storming, it didn't really seem as though it was a concerning storm. It was not windy. It was raining very hard, and there was not thunder or lightning until there was. And I had just walked back inside my house, had a towel, drying off, and there was this enormous clap of thunder. It was so loud. Literally sounded like it could have been a bomb going off. I've never heard anything like this from Mother Nature before. And my dog, Kaiba, she does not love loud noises. She does not love the sound of guns, thunder, storms in general will scare her. And here in the U.S., it was also leading up to the 4th of July with a lot of fireworks being shot off. And so I went downstairs to the basement with her so she could calm down, and she just prefers to be in the basement during a storm anyway. And I'm sitting there and I'm reflecting upon something I just said, which was, I have never heard anything in nature sound like that before. And as I was sitting there, it was only a couple minutes, I hear sirens. And then the knowingness struck. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that wasn't thunder. It was lightning. And if it was lightning, that was lightning striking something. Because that bomb, that crack, that sound certainly was not just thunder and lightning. So I went outside, and not too far away were a lot of fire engines. Actually, they all had not arrived yet. An ambulance drove by, and a neighbor's house, it was not my neighbor, like on either side of me, it was a couple blocks away. The house had been struck by lightning. That sound was lightning literally setting this house on fire. And so all of the emergency first responders were there. They very promptly got the fire put out. No one was injured, thank goodness. And I read in the news article about it that it's estimated that they have around $100,000 worth of damage to their home. Probably not the way they wanted to spend a holiday weekend. And I took a moment of gratitude that I wasn't still outside when that happened. It didn't strike any closer to where I was. I'm really feeling grateful for this divine protection that I feel is always with me and around me and moving through me with the intuition prompting me to come inside. You're done. Dancing is good. It's reached completion. Don't overextend your stay. And also, of course, very grateful that it wasn't my house that got struck. So after taking pause with all of that and being in awe, the power of Mother Nature, that it can start fire in an instant. Just so much in that story alone that I appreciate in this divine life experience we get to indulge in. So of course I then explored, what does lightning striking a house actually mean? I know it didn't strike my house, but I was home, you know, in a way I was a witness of the event. Perhaps it truly does hold a message for me. And this is what we talked about here with SJ and I last week. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, it's really, really fun, humorous, funny, incredible, and it'll get you thinking about life in a much deeper, more meaningful way. So when I looked up the meaning of lightning striking, it talked about illumination, bringing things to light, truth. And that is what the series that I have been doing solo here for the last several months has been all about. I feel like it is such a beautiful symbolism in coming to this final chapter. This is the final episode on this topic, that there is this message about bringing this information to light. And I also feel this lightning striking illumination message could not have been more well-timed. If it had come weeks prior, it would not have meant the same as it did coming right now. So we are going to get into the topic of strawman or legal fiction. It has been referred in both of those manners. And if you've never heard of this before, I am so excited for you to sit and come on this journey with us here today. This information is not easy to find. In fact, there are few people who speak out about it. The majority of people who go into depth on the topic have their materials behind a membership or paywall of some sort. And so I really invite you to sit with, is this information so challenging to find because it's not true, and there's only a few people who drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak? Or is its impact so large and so profound that there is a lot of at stake, so a lot of motivation to keep the information from the general population. And this also is another reason why I feel this message of illumination and bringing truth to light is so powerful for this topic. So as the series has done throughout, it's really built upon each other. So a brief recap of where we left off, since we do alternate topics every other week with SJ jumping in here. 2 weeks ago, we discussed our monetary system. We discussed the Federal Reserve being set up in the United States back in 1913, how that came to be, how that changed our currency, going from gold and silver to paper. And we discussed the country actually being a company or a corporation and looking at everything through this business lens rather than merely through a government and country perspective. We talked about the evidence of that being able to be seen through the In God We, which is a trust that can be found on Dun & Bradstreet's website. And there is no need for a business to be on a business collection database demonstrating a trust that's held if it's not truly a business. Another way of saying that is the In God We would not be documented in a business tracking database if it weren't actually a trust, a financial trust that a corporation is operating through. Looking at the country, though, is really still being at maybe a 10,000 feet up perspective. And so today we're going to drop down further into the weeds more minutely into our lives specifically and discuss the straw man or legal fiction. So as I discuss both of those terms, please know I'm using them synonymously. To me, they mean the same thing. Now, the definition of straw man, if you haven't heard of this before, there's several different definitions. The one most relevant to what we will be discussing is that it is a person used as a cover for questionable activity. How could you possibly be a person being used for questionable activity? Now, by the end of this, you will clearly see the answer to that. But as usual, we'll start with some history to lead up to the full understanding of how all of this came to be. Here in the U.S., it starts with our founding fathers who left Great Britain because they believed they were living in tyranny and enslavement. Words and phrases we hear thrown around quite a bit again in common day. Now, a part of our founding fathers' grievances was taxation without representation. That is a phrase that I remember from civics class. We talked about it a lot, maybe because it rhymes a little bit. Hopefully that also brings some memories back for some of you listeners out there as well. Taxation without representation. What does that mean? We're going to get into that deeper here today too. So when our founding fathers came to America, they really did their best to set up the Constitution so the past would not repeat itself. They really wanted to keep the banking elites from doing what had been done in England, which is what they were leaving, this taxation without representation, being in a state of enslavement. This is part of what motivated, or maybe completely motivated, the 13th Amendment. Do your own research, as always. The 13th Amendment in the U.S. Constitution says that there can be no indentured servitude, including involuntary servitude. So you can't put someone into debt and make them a slave unless they've been convicted of a crime. Now, I can tell you from the personal encounters I've had with the criminal justice system, There is most certainly that servitude happening within the prison system, being paid mere dollars, $8, $12, maybe if you have a really, I'm air quoting, good position within the prison, you get paid $60 a month. However, there is this loophole in the Constitution that makes that legal. So as we reflect on our history, most often we think of slavery and servitude as the slavery that was experienced early in the United States, largely in the South. And now we believe that there isn't this servitude or slavery that exists here anymore. But we're really looking at and focusing on a different involuntary slavery occurring through our financial system that likely most people don't have the knowledge to be able to see. And along with the knowledge, there's a whole spiritual aspect of this conversation as well. The spiritual side that keeps truth from coming to the light, that keeps things in darkness and keeps them hidden. And I really hope to be able to dive into that here today as well, more than just scratching the surface, but we'll see what we have time for. However, it's really, really, really important, as with all the topics we discuss about here on Eyes Wide Open, to understand the spiritual and the physical, that it's more than just our money and the material possessions. This is also heavily interwoven into the spiritual existence of us. So back to the Constitution, if you look at it, the Constitution mentioned the United States of America twice. However, it mentioned United States in all capital letters, which is a really important detail. It mentioned that repeatedly, many times. So when you study, if you study contract law, you'll understand these small details are actually really big details. And if we pick up where we left off last 2 weeks ago in this series, the United States being a business, the words the United States of America written with the U capitalized, the S capitalized, the A capitalized, and the rest in lower caps, it's a little bit easier to see than to listen to, but I think you understand what I'm saying. The United States of America within the Constitution is representing the land of the country, how we think of the country in general, how we've been taught to think of our country as a body of land, while that all capitals United States references the corporation or the business of the United States. So we are living in a business here within the United States, and this is not just our country for those of you listening in other places. And it's being disguised as this government, these agencies, the police, all the things that we've known it to be, when in reality, it is a corporation or a company, it's a business. Especially with the name of the Federal Reserve, a large part of this involves that story of the Federal Reserve being set up. With the name Federal Reserve, people believed in the illusion that this was part of the U.S. government. When you look at the Federal Reserve, it's not actually a part of the government. We talked about that a couple weeks ago as well. And so it's painted the illusion that people believe they are living in a country of freedom and liberty when in reality they're living within a business. So this is how this played out, this business deal. The Federal Reserve and government representing the all caps United States decided that the Federal Reserve will make the money with nothing backing it, or maybe some was at the time it first started, but as we all see, the debt ceiling keeps increasing, more money is printed, and there's not the backing of the money being made. So we don't have what is necessary in value and worth backing the making of the money. And so the United States, the all capital letters, will go into debt as a result, which gives reason to tax all of the citizens to pay back the debt. Does this sound familiar? Are you paying taxes? Are you paying off a debt? Do you hear about the debt ceiling all the time? Now, as we shared last week, those pieces of paper, cash, those Federal Reserve notes are debt notes. And debt means you owe money. So having cash signifies, essentially, you're carrying the debt of the all caps United States business name. Yet you're being told that the value of the cash is in your hand, that you have a credit. So in this deal, the Federal Reserve profits and the government profits while the people bear the burden of the debt. Let's critically think a little bit further through this. How can a business tax people? Think about the business down the street from you. Maybe there's a gas station. Maybe there is a pet store. Maybe there's a grocery store. None of those businesses, simply because they've registered as a business with the government, are sending you annual tax statements. You might pay taxes through that business when you've made a purchase. That's different. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just because the business exists, it has a right to tax the people, citizens. That doesn't exist. In fact, it doesn't exist for the United States either. Now, seeing is believing with a lot of things, right? So I invite you to Google, if you'd like, May 17th, 2013, Representative Xavier Becerra testified during an IRS hearing, and he three times stated that the tax system is voluntary, and he discussed the importance of citizen respect of this system and integrity to keep citizens participating in the voluntary tax payment that supports the business of the all caps United States. Just for clarity, in that video, he does not talk about the all caps United States. I added that in to bring it full circle, but he does talk about how our taxes are voluntary. So what you really need to understand in this conversation is that our monetary system, the straw man, it is a complete inversion of the truth you have been told. It has everything upside down, inside out, backward. You're told that you are the debtor when you're actually the creditor. You have the value. You have the worth. The government has no funding or assets without taking it from humans, from taking it from the people, from taking it from you. This system is truly as backward as if you babysat for someone growing up, mowed someone's yard, landscape for them, whatever job that you would even have as a child. You do that job, and then you go out, knock on the door, and you pay that person for the job you just completed for them. You have the value. You are making the contribution to our country through your work, through your gifts, through your energy, through your time, through your effort, and you are paying the government for the work that you are providing the country. And the country, the government, is receiving the benefits of your labor. This goes deeper than taxes, though, my friends. So let's continue on down the rabbit hole, if you will. So this actually entails so much law, commercial law, maritime law, trust law. And we as citizens don't typically have that extensive of knowledge to understand all of the different aspects of law to bring all of these things full circle. I think there's likely a reason for that. And it's always, of course, much more easier to default to an attorney. And if you have an experience with an attorney like we had last year, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're looking out for your best interest. So let's go deeper than taxes here. Let's get into how the government, and we'll call them the financial elites, are making profits off of you every time you take out a loan, build properties, buy the goods, you know, live and be a citizen. And the way that they do this starts at your birth. And they make a fake corporation out of you at the time of your birth through your birth certificate. And this fake corporation is your straw man. This is how you're the front for questionable activity. This is how you're the cover for what's going on behind the scenes and you don't know. So the first place you can go is checking your bills, bank statements, any financial documents, loan documents, marriage certificates, license. Is your name in all caps on all of these things in all of the places? Do any of them have a capital first letter and lowercase for the rest of your name? If so, I'd love to hear. Because what you are going to find is that all of your bill statements, banking statements, financial statements, mortgage statements, loan statements, all of the statements have your name in all capital letters. And you've seen our system even move to where things are entered if you fill out a form online. It just populates, even if you type in lowercase into capital letters, where it's important in the we'll just call it a scheme. In the scheme, for it to continue to allow you to represent the straw man that you don't know that you're doing. So when you register a business, for anyone who's not a business owner, you may not know that you will get what's called an EIN number in the United States, and that's your business number as given by the government. So essentially your social security number is the equivalent of this EIN. This is your social security number created after your birth, allows you to be tracked as a business and live within the straw man or represent this legal fiction. Essentially, in the fine print of the birth certificate, when the parents sign it, the parents are essentially being deceived and tricked because it states that the parents are essentially giving the estate entity or child to the government. So then you grow up thinking that you are this person with your name when you've actually been entered into a business implied contract, if you will, where you're actually representing the all caps name. So for me, Janessa Finley, I think I am capital J, lowercase, the rest of my name, capital F, lowercase, last of my name, when actually I am all caps Janessa Finley in this legal fiction. So I don't mean to repeat myself over and over and over again to be boring. When I was first introduced to this information, there was a knowingness inside my soul that knew that it was real, but my mind and my brain knew some other truth all of this time, and I had to hear it over and over again to really begin to see the structure of it. So that is my intention here today, is to not go through this so quickly or surface level that you can't begin to see the structure of it. I want you to begin to see the outline. And we're going to look at that structure through that trust law. This is really where the trust aspect comes in. Not trusting other people, I'm talking about financial trust, if you're not familiar with those. So using the straw man, your all caps name, it's actually said that you are assigned millions of dollars at your birth by the Federal Reserve, and they don't tell you about it. Then they make a trust out of the government, who is the grantor or the creditor of the trust. You, in your all caps name, is the trustee. So you make the transactions through the trust. And the Federal Reserve is set up as the beneficiary. What this means is those loans that you've taken from the bank, where you believed you were borrowing the bank's money, you're actually borrowing your own money that was given to you at the time of your birth from your own trust, and then paying the bank back interest for allowing you to access your own money. Pretty wild, isn't it? Let me say that one more time. The trust that is set up makes the government the creditor or the grantor of the trust. Your all caps name is the trustee. You're the one who makes the transactions through the trust, and the Federal Reserve is set up as the beneficiary. So the loans you take out from the bank, where you believe that you are borrowing the bank's money, what is actually happening is they are taking the money from your own trust that was assigned to you at birth that you don't know about, and then you pay that money back to yourself that you've borrowed from yourself, and you pay interest on top of it to the bank for allowing you to access the money. In addition to loans, as I've talked about and alluded to in some of these past episodes as well, your Social Security number, your birth certificate, and even prison sentences are being traded on a stock market where others are profiting off of you while you have no idea it's even occurring. As always, seeing is believing. So how do we know this is true? First of all, there are people who are discharging debt who understand the inner workings of the law, combining the maritime, the commercial, the trust, all of these aspects of law, that know that the banks were only given the power and duty to hold assets, not lend it. And so through these fraudulent loans that are being created, when you know the law, people are being able to discharge. And the word is discharge. It's not loan forgiveness, it's discharging. They're discharging their debt. For the sake of privacy, and a lot of people likely not being comfortable sharing a lot about their financial practices, what have you, this may be a large reason as well as why a lot of this information is held behind memberships or paywalls where there's an investment to get to know the reality and be able to see the actual documents being used and the discharging evidence so that it's more than just a conspiracy theory. You see the real physical, tangible evidence. In addition to discharging debts, those who know the laws, again, will have a very different experience loaning money from the bank as well. There is not nearly the extent of you must demonstrate that you can pay this loan back. You guys know what that loan process is like. Being on pins and needles, will you be approved? It kind of goes to the wayside when you know the law and you know that banks don't have the ability to lend the money, and you know the specific statutes that are going to back you in being able to obtain the funds. So those are two ways of seeing physical evidence to demonstrate that the straw man is real. A third way is a website, and unfortunately, until recently, it was an open public internet search site. It is GMEI Utility, and it was a tool that allowed you to go to their website and search your Social Security number to see for yourself all the times your legal documents have been traded. Now, unfortunately, and also not really surprisingly, the website's been converted where it now requires you to register a corporation, to have an account, to be able to access any search results. However, while it was an open public search, I did see someone search their social security number, and they discovered that their information had been traded over 40,000 times. They saw zero pennies from any of that trading. They were never aware of any of those 40,000 times their information had been traded, but it showed up on this website, and you could see who was making the trades, purchases, all of the information simply by entering the social security number. Could you even imagine what our world would look like if we all had access to this money that's assigned to us at birth? Can you even fathom? It even stretches my mind, and I have been into this information for 4 years now. But when you strip away the illusion of the monetary system, of everything we've been taught to believe, if there's not any value, gold or silver, backing the money that's being printed, then aren't we just moving commas and zeros and numbers around in different columns anyway? If you just observe your thoughts as we talk about this topic and notice perhaps how caught up you get in the structure of, if I have a $100 bill in my hand, I really have something in my hand. We're very attached to that belief system. And so it's so easy to distract us, to get us all riled up and emotional. For instance, in elections, so often during election cycles, we will see political figures and some narrative similar to the fact that they are dodging the tax system, they haven't paid their taxes, something to that effect, right? Like, let's release the tax documents. There's always this big uproar that we get caught up in. And then we feel some sort of way about that candidate. We like them. We don't like them. We like them more. We like them way less. We lose respect for them. Whatever emotion gets attached to the meaning of the taxes. When in reality, perhaps those political figures have much more insight to all of the systems because they're so enmeshed in the systems that they know the truth. They know the loopholes. They know how to not have to pay as much into the voluntary tax system or how to avoid the voluntary tax system. And that's knowledge, a right we all can have. And as you've heard me say so many times before, it is a product and a result of having emotional intelligence to not stay in the emotional upheaval, to be able to critically think, to tap into consciousness, your knowingness, that spiritual connection where you can see truth from deceit, so that you as well can live an empowered life and in a way that serves you. And this is where I feel this conversation becomes a spiritual conversation. This is where I do not believe that the first step in coming to know your strawman and wanting to take action to exit the strawman is to correct your status or exit the voluntary tax system or to set up your own trust to be the beneficiary or creditor of the trust rather than just an administrator. There are physical solutions to these things, but this is where I feel that this conversation really does become a spiritual conversation. This is where all of our relationships, that with the world outside of us in all the ways, monetary, our significant others, our coworkers, our relationship to time, all of it begins with our relationship within. This is where consciousness and oneness comes in. This is where shadow work comes in. This is where we need to understand that If we fight a system, we're fighting ourselves. There's no fight to be had. But we have to be able to see the truth of our spiritual being, of who we are. We, as humans, tend to identify with the physical body that we live in. And what makes us whole and complete is our body and our mind and our spirit, but our I am essence of who we are is truly a spiritual connection to source. And if we do not know our I am essence, who we truly are as a spiritual being, it makes it incredibly hard to correct your status and say, I know that I am not the all caps name. Because if you're saying you're not your all caps name and who you thought you have been your whole life, you better be very, very clear on who you really, really are. And as my delightful husband would tell me right now, he would say, babe, that's really deep. Guys, this is really deep if you do not have that openness to your spiritual connection. In the last 10 minutes or so that we have here, together, we are going to discuss some of the spiritual aspects of this, some of the deepness of this topic, or I prefer to say richness, which I think is very, very prudent for the topic of wealth and money and the monetary system. We'll start with a concept, though, that is easier for our minds to grasp, and that is the root word, or words, actually. There are two words that make up the word corporation. So the root of those words are corp, which comes from corpse, and a corpse is dead, and then oration, which is to speak. And so therefore we know that a corporation is actually a dead entity, and it takes a human to speak or create life into this corporation. If you think about a corporation never signs on the dotted line. There is a human representing that entity, giving it life, that signs on any line to make any business deal. So as I said before, you have the value, you have the worth, you have the life. It is the corporation that is leeching from you. Only a human can bring a corporation to life, to make it active, to make it, you know, profitable, to allow it to exchange energy, to engage in business deals, only by means of humans. There are humans behind that every single time, 100% of the time, making that happen. So that concept's fairly easy to grasp, right? A corporation is a dead entity without a human. So then let's also look at credit and debt. So credit it has life. Think about when you have credit, you own something, you have money, you have wealth, you have value, you have worth within the means of the monetary system. And when you have debt spiritually really represents death. Because when you have debt, it's a burden, it's heavy. There's no life coming into that. It's something that's owed that has to be given back. And so when you look at the debt that the country owes and that it's being placed on your shoulders as a citizen, you're working to pay these taxes, you're expending your energy, it's taking your life force, it's siphoning your money, your energy, your skills, your talents, your time, your commitment, and all of that comes through you from life force. So credit is life and debt is death. This is a pretty easy concept to wrap our minds around as well, right? From a spiritual aspect. Let's continue into the spiritual thinking from an energetic standpoint of God and Satan. So remove the religious filters that you may have. There's nothing wrong with those. I just want to look at it from a different context, not looking at the archetype of God being a man sitting on a throne in the clouds and Satan being this red devil-looking dude with horns and a pitchfork, I want to talk about the energetics, what we feel, what we sense as humans in our bodies, in our minds, in our knowingness. So if God, the energy of God, is truth, light, and love, bringing truth, light, and love, if this knowledge was supported actually, before I go there, let's also talk about the energetics of Satan. If we look at the energetic connection of Satan, Satan is stagnancy, deceit, darkness. So you can see then the spiritual connection of this entire inversion of truth, of what you've always believed to be true about money and the monetary system, simply through this spiritual definition. Because what is presented to all of us is something that is deceitful. It's in the dark. Very, very few people know about it. I'm sorry, the truth is in the dark and very, very few people know about it. So I believe there is a case to be made here that the driving energetic force behind the monetary system as we know it comes from a place of Satan energy, whatever that is to you. The stagnancy, the deceit, the darkness. And to step into the light, the truth, the love, it takes that spiritual connection to our Creator. We all have it. Now, if you study Ra and the Law of One or A Course in Miracles, the spiritual belief systems generally all align. However, what I know the best is the Bible, so I'm going to speak from the Bible. But there is something to be said for the fact that we are all connected. And when our consciousness rises to a level where our spiritual connection is so clear, we begin to understand this reality for ourselves. We don't need someone to tell us that that's how it is. And once we know that, then we know that fighting a system is fighting ourselves, like I mentioned before. We know that we have to go within and integrate the things that trigger us to be calm, clear, connected, centered, to know who we are and to be able to critically think to find the way through the system. Because the way out is through. It's not a fighting, it's not a rebellion. It's knowing the law and knowing the knowledge and applying the knowledge so that you are empowered. And the Bible, because I know it best, I'm going to quote a few different verses that really show this guiding principle in the spiritual aspect itself. So I'll start with Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people will perish from a lack of knowledge." How many people are struggling because they don't have the knowledge to create something different for themselves? Our brains are very programmable. Our emotions are very processable. Not a word, but we're going with it. I like making up words. And that allows us to be balanced, and it allows us to live a rich, full, healthy life. But because we don't have those tools or the knowledge readily available to us, a lot of people live in struggle and suffering. And it is invaluable to be spiritually connected. You've heard me say that over and over and over. And part of being spiritually connected is to have a clear, sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 states, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So when we feel fear, we know that that is not energy from God, because God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. That is your true essence. Having the knowledge to be able to live in that space and stay in that space is really what, as a human, is our birthright. Proverbs 14, verse 30, guides us that a sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. And then lastly here today, Proverbs 14:34 directs that God devotion makes a country strong. God avoidance leaves people weak. Now we are seeing a mass movement within countries to have the separation of church and state. And with the separation of church is a separation from this God energy, from the spiritual connection. And it makes for a weakness in each individual person, in our society, and in our country. So as I mentioned earlier, the I am essence of your spirit is your true identity. And when you come to know your true identity through that spiritual aspect of yourself, your consciousness increases. Your consciousness is a result in the mind, which only comes by way of your spirit. Stated another way, through your spiritual connection, your mind comes to know truth, which increases your consciousness. Your brain is not your consciousness. Your body is not who you are. Your mind without spirit cannot achieve consciousness. This is very much a spiritual experience, with everything around us in the world being spiritually connected. And we absolutely cannot fight our way out of this matrix that we find ourselves in. The way out is through. And by through, we come to know ourselves in our true identity. And by living in alignment with our true identity, you're standing in your power and you are living an empowered life. The definition of empowerment is becoming stronger and more confident in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. When you are ready to stand in your empowerment, I have two options available for you. If guidance will get you to where you want to go much quicker, because it always does, people who have led the way that know how the pieces of the puzzle come to align. Stronger Together is an incredible place to get started. You've heard us talk about this group coaching community many, many times, where we focus on discovering your true self and cultivating that deep, loving connection to it. And when you do, you will naturally cultivate a deep, loving connection to people around you, to your life. You'll come to know your purpose, which is what we are focusing on specifically for the month of July in that community. You're going to get over 15 courses that are going to give you the tools, the knowledge that has been kept hidden from us on how to process these emotions, how to stay in your empowerment, how to work with reprogramming your mind so your mind works for you rather than being in the default things that the brain does, which is seeing lack and gap and not enoughness. And the ultimate result of the Stronger Together community is cultivating your spiritual connection to increase your consciousness, to discern truth, and to live an empowered life. And if groups or do-it-yourself courses don't light you up and make you feel alive and sensationalized because you want more of a one-on-one connection, I'm launching my 3-month coaching program, my signature program, where you get support every week and there's unlimited support through an app as well. That one-on-one signature program is tailored 100% to you, to meet you where you are with what you're going through, to empower you in the ways where you are currently challenged or find yourself regularly getting tripped up. These are the exact same tools that my significant other and I used last year to navigate what would have crushed us in every way without them, and to become stronger, kinder, gentler, more gracious humans, both individually and also collectively as a couple. This program will support you in being able to come to understand that your hard is actually opportunity, or your strife is opportunity. Your hopelessness becomes hopefulness. The impossible becomes achievable. And where you once were immovable, you'll be taking inspired action and reaping results. You can find more information about working with me on my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. I would love to hear from you if you have questions. I'd love to know what your major takeaways were from this episode, from this series. You can send those directly to Nicole at News with the Soul, and she'll be sure to get them to me, or you can send them directly to me via email at fiercelyradiantsoul@yahoo.com. I would love to hear from you. And if you have questions about my signature program, you can send those questions to that email address as well, fiercelyradiantsoul@yahoo.com. That's a wrap for this week, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next week, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.